That reading this morning. If you haven't done so already, please do turn to John chapter 6, beginning at verse 51. Before I begin, let us pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you so much for this church that you love so much, these people here this morning. And as we come before you, Lord, with quite a few strange words, really, help us make sense of it. Help us by giving us your spirit, Lord, to lead us into more of your truth, to continue to shine your light and your glory upon us, Lord, as we unpack these words this morning, that we will see the glory of Jesus, that we will grow to maturity in Christ, that we will experience more of the life that he offers revealed in these passages. In Jesus' name, amen. Last summer, while we were in Cyprus, for a couple of nights, my family took care of Moses and Gianna, so me and Rosalie could have some proper relaxation. On one of those days, we were on sunbeds on the beach with a book in one hand and a frozen yogurt in the other. I could lie back and truly unwind without someone screaming in my ear when they get a little bit of water in their eyes. No one constantly calling out for me, no one bickering, and no one to constantly keep an eye on. I remember, as I was enjoying the moment, the voice passed through my head saying, "Ah, this is the life." Have any of you had these sorts of thoughts pass through your mind at any point in your life? Thinking that goes along the lines, "This is really living," or "This is what it means to be alive," or "This is the good life." And what we mean by this is not that we were dead before that. What we mean is quality of life. We're experiencing something of a sort of tranquility, of joy, of peace, exhilaration, happiness, freedom, pleasure, and satisfaction. In our Bible passage this morning, Jesus answers the question, what is true life? From the feeding of the 5,000 at the beginning of chapter 6 to the end of this chapter, Jesus is defining the Christian life using bread imagery. Verse 51 sums up the main idea. "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world." Throughout chapter 6, he says the same things in different ways, which means there will probably be some overlap from the last two sermons that you've heard. In verses 25 to 35 and verses 48 to 59, Jesus unpacked the idea of him being the bread of life. And in the middle of verses 36 and 47, he talks about saving grace, that is, salvation is totally dependent on the Lord. People are saved not because they first choose Jesus, but because God the Father first chooses them and enable them to choose Jesus. So 2 points for us this morning. Firstly, truly living. Truly living. The imagery of bread used to unpack what it means to be a Christian tells us we are to think of it in terms of ingestion and digestion. When we eat physical bread, we chew it, we swallow it, and the body takes over to circulate it within its biological processes to digest it. The bread comes into us and becomes part of us, and the physical energy stored within the bread is released into our bodies, giving us an explosion of physical life and energy and power. This is the picture of the genuine Christian life. The supernatural life of God through Christ comes from outside of us into a person's life and floods the person. It circulates, it surges through a person, releasing its power, leading to a transformed life. Old ways and old habits go out of the window and a new life in Christ begins to develop. What Jesus is talking about when he said in verse 48, "I am the bread of life," and that he came from heaven to give himself for the life of the world, is a difference between existing and truly living. It's a difference between existing and truly living. When he said to the Jews, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Jesus is basically saying, you are existing, but you are not truly living. There is another life that needs to come from outside of you and needs to come inside of you and become part of you for you to truly live. Which means Jesus is talking about a quality of life flowing from the life of God that is not dependent on circumstances and that cannot be found on this earth. There are two main Greek words for life in the New Testament. The two main ones are bios and zoe. Bios refers to the created physical life of the body, and it is where we get the word biology from. Zoe refers to the uncreated, eternal life, supernatural, divine life of God that is uniquely possessed by God. Between verses 25 and 71, Jesus uses the word zoe 12 times, which emphasizes his main point. Jesus didn't come so that we could have an improved life on earth. He didn't come to make bad people good. He came to give spiritually dead people life. When Jesus talks about eternal life and living forever, he's not just talking about existing forever. Merely existing forever is not going to make heaven heaven. People in hell are going to be existing forever. Eternal life, on the other hand, is talking about a life worth living, a life of inner vitality, tranquility, peace, happiness, joy, and exhilaration. A life free from the corruption of and passions of inner sin that causes so much misery and so much inner turmoil, filled instead with the supernatural, eternal life of Christ in us and through us, and that sustains us forever. That's what Jesus is talking about in chapter 6. It is an abundant inner quality of life that Jesus said in John 10, verse 10, I have come that they may have Zoe and have it to the full. Now here is part of our problem. As fallen, sinful human beings, we try to find this full and abundant life, a life worth living that will satisfy and make us happy in all the wrong places, because we all instinctively know that existing isn't enough. If merely existing was enough, there would be no miserable and unhappy person in existence. People are all over the world are seeking this life. And Jesus recognized this in the crowds that he was speaking to. They were pursuing him for more food. He said in verse 27, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal Zoe, which the Son of Man will give you. They had a vision of what living was. For them, it was going after their next meal to satisfy their hungry bodies and take away their discomfort. But this was a false Zoe. Back on the beach with a book in one hand and a frozen yogurt on the other, and my inner voice that said to me, myself, ah, this is life. For a split second, I believed in a false Zoe. Living a stress-free life, free from the intensity and stress of young kids, free from the labors and demands of church ministry and life, and escaping reality to live a life of pleasure and leisure and ease is not life, and it's not true life. Having an easy and comfortable circumstances is not true life. I immediately put a stop to that thought and said to myself, this is not true life. This is not what it means to truly live. It is Jesus Christ. He is true life. He is true rest. Many people believe in all the false Zoes out there. Some people believe that the good life, the life worth living, is found in a stress-free, labor-free life, a life free from discomforts, a life of going from one leisure and pleasure activity, a life of freedom from any commitments and responsibilities. Others believe that the fine living kind of life is the good life. Fine houses, fine dining, fine neighborhoods surrounded by fine people, living fine lives in luxury and indulgence and wealth. Maybe others believe it is the hedonistic lifestyle, seeking satisfaction and enjoyment in their lives through the constant need to experience lots of pleasures or consume lots of products and have lots of things. Maybe for others it's drugs and drink and sex and all kinds of other activities that give them a sense of exhilaration and energy. Whatever someone thinks, that's living. If I could just have that or be that, is a false Zoe. Whatever life or lifestyle people have to have apart from Jesus in order to feel like they are truly living is a false Zoe. When we seek in anything the things that only Christ can give us, like joy, like satisfaction, like boldness, like security, like meaning, like confidence, like love, like purpose, we are going to things that spoil in the end. It will just be a never-ending, exhausting cycle of endless pursuing that ends in emptiness. People in this cycle are not free. They think they are, but they are not. A Christian whose life is found in Christ is the freest person around, because they will go wherever God sends them and be with whomever God wants them to be with, because they know true life is not found in life, good life circumstances. It is possible to have nothing and have a hard life and only have Jesus and still have this full and abundant life that Jesus offers, because the good life does not consist in a life of favorable life circumstances, but in the presence of Christ. Jesus comes and says, come to me, the living bread, and get a new identity, a new purpose, get a new life, get a new community called the church, and get a new power living within you. Come to me, Jesus says, and you will experience the life and love of God in you. This is where you and I find true life. It is in the bread of heaven. Secondly, feasting on a person. So how do we get this bread? How do we receive what Jesus has to offer? Jesus said in verse 53, very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Now Jesus said this to the Jews, who thought he was talking about cannibalism. And it was utterly offensive and shocking to them, because the law of Moses forbade drinking blood and even eating meat with the blood still in it. But it is clear from the whole chapter, Jesus is talking metaphorically. He is saying the same thing in different ways. He's unpacking verse 51 and gives you and I something to do. Unless you eat the flesh and drink his blood, we have no life in us. That's conditional. We must feast on a person. We must ingest and digest, in a spiritual sense, this person. What Jesus is telling us is that we are not dealing with a God who is up in the heavens and far away from us. Christianity is the most intimate of religions. Christianity is not primarily about growing in head knowledge, though of course it has wonderful truths to know. It is not about following a set of rules, though of course it has laws to obey. This is about the most intimate and personal relationship you can ever have. This is not about repeating set prayers every day. This is about truly praying, talking deeply with the lover of your soul in a deep interchange of information and the sharing of affections with one another. This is not about worshiping out of duty, but worshiping just because it is a joy spending time together with Him. There is the security that Jesus will always be there for you no matter what. Where you and I arrange our life around Him and allow Him to change us and mold us. This is a personal relationship with our Maker. Do you have this? If you don't, even if you have grown up in a Christian home, even if you have attended church for most of your life, even if you love the formality and the motions of worship, if you do not have this kind of relationship with Jesus, then you may not be a Christian. A real Christian is someone who is intimately involved in the life of Jesus, so much so that Jesus is constantly teaching them new things, constantly changing them in some way, and the realities of the gospel become more and more precious to them. Do you have this? This person, this bread, is a broken bread, as we're also told, because He gave it for the life of the world. This broken bread took our place on the cross. That's what He means when He said He gave His life for the world. The world is you and me. He was broken so we could be nourished with His life. He was punished so we could be our peace. He was broken to pieces so that we could be made whole. The broken bread is useless if we do not pick it up, ingest and digest it so it can nourish us. Jesus is no benefit to anyone if we merely affirm the truth of the broken bread. We must give ourselves to Him. That's what Jesus said to the crowds who asked, "What must we do to do the works of God requires?" Jesus answered in 29, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one He has sent." We don't need to work to receive this bread. We don't need to earn it. We just have to receive it as a free gift in faith. And what does that look like? What does faith in action look like? This is what Jesus tells us in verses 53 to 59. We need to be constantly eating and drinking Jesus for Him to remain in us, which is, of course, metaphorical language that has a spiritual sense. It means to be in continual process of feeding on Christ. And how do we do this? Jesus, later on in John's Gospel, tells us three ways in which we do this, which will probably be no surprise to most of you. We do this by ingesting the Word of God. As later Jesus commands Peter to feed his sheep in John 19, which is done through the preaching and teaching of God's Word. We are to feed on the Word daily so that it can go through the spiritual digestive system in our bodies. We are to feed on Him in prayer, as later on He talks about abiding in Him as He is the vine in John 15. And apart from Him, we cannot do anything. And later on, Jesus Himself said in John 4, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me." So three things we are to continually do in the same way we continually eat physical food to keep us nourished and energized. We are to feed on Jesus through His Word, the Bible. We are to feed on Him through spending time with Him in prayer. And we are to feed on Him through obedience to the will of God. Three simple things. We can only receive the benefits of this life that He offers and saving work on the cross in us if we feast on Him continually. We live by Him as our bodies lives by food. Let us pray. Almighty, loving Savior of the world, thank You for unpacking for us something of the genuine Christian life. And the simplicity of coming to You, the simplicity of feeding on You. You've given us everything we need to live a life that pleases You, to live a life that experiences the fullness of life that You give and that You offer. Oh Lord, Your word is clear, but the execution is sometimes very difficult. There are so many distractions, so many things that are cause our hearts and minds to wander away from you. Give us your spirit, give us your strength, give us more grace to pursue you daily. Give us more grace to feast on you daily. Give us more grace to experience the life that you offer, the life of inner vitality, inner satisfaction, joy, peace, love, vitality, exhilaration, pleasure that comes in knowing you and experiencing your presence. Help us be the people that you've called us to be in this world by feasting on you daily. In Jesus' name, amen.